Good afternoon. I'll call the April 4th meeting of the Ag Finance and Policy Committee to order. This remote meeting will be held in accordance with House Rule 10.01. Roll call, Ms. Rolfes, please.
Chair Sundin?
Present.
Vice Chair Vang?
Present.
Representative Anderson? Representative Burkle? Representative Eklund?
Present.
Representative Hansen R.
Hansen R. Present.
Representative Hansen J.
Hansen J. Present.
Representative Cleavorn.
Cleavorn present.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert present.
Representative Lewick.
Lewick present.
Representative Miller.
Miller present.
Representative Nelson.
Nelson present.
Representative Thompson.
Thompson present.
Representative Anderson? Representative Burkle?
Burkle present.
Mr. Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you. We have the minutes of the March 28th meeting. Representative Lippert, I'm assuming you've seen these minutes. So what's your pleasure?
I move the minutes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, are there any questions or corrections on the minutes? Seeing none, hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Okay, that motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Before we get started, I'd like to welcome Isabel Rolfes to the Ag Committee team. Mr. Smith left us for another opportunity, and Ms. Rolfes is helping to get us through the rest of the session in addition to her other responsibilities. Thank you, Isabel Rolfes. Okay, members, today we begin to wrap up our work of this session as we develop our supplemental finance bill. We have a full agenda, so we should probably get right to it. Vice Chair Vang, could you please take the chair?
Certainly. Members, the plan for today is to hear the proposed delete everything amendments and take public testimony and then lay the bill over until Wednesday. The DE amendment will not be moved and no action will be taken. Mr. Chair, please move your bill and let's hear the proposal.
Okay, thank you, Chair Vang. I will move 4366 to get the bill before us. And Madam Chair and members, the DE amendment that you'll hear about represents the work of all members of the committee, as well as the Department of Ag, RE, the Board of Animal Health, and initiatives from various groups and the public. It builds on established programs and traditional production agriculture, RE facilities, ag innovation, bioincentives, for instance. It invests in areas that haven't really been fully developed, like support for smaller specialty crop farmers, for evergreen, new investments for new beginning emerging urban farmers, so we have a rich and broad base of farmers to continue our strong ag tradition and hunger relief. And it also responds to emerging issues critical to our state, like emergency preparedness response, shortage of livestock processing, healthy soils, and pollinator habitat. One note on the emergency response preparedness, we continue to work with the Board of Animal Health and the department to make sure each has the resources they need to deal with all emergency situations, like the high pathogenic avian influenza issue is our latest emergency. As you'll hear, the current proposal has funding for the department. I'm committed to moving some of that money to the Board of Animal Health if conversations indicate that we need to do so. Okay, I appreciate the wide range of interests and perspectives brought to this committee and think this package reflects a comprehensive approach that builds on our past successes and continues to explore new ways to move us forward. I will defer to Mr. Savory to do a walkthrough of the spreadsheet, and then Mr. Sullivan to walk through the DE.
All right. Mr. Savory, please identify yourself for the tape and begin your presentation.
Chair and members, Ken Savory, House Fiscal Staff. I'll be walking through the spreadsheet that Ms. Conley posted online. Just before we kind of get started, just some sort of brief kind of lay of the land items. Column A lists the change item itself, so the item that is being funded or changed within the budget.
Madam Chair, could Mr. Savory expand that image so it's readable on the screens? Is that a possibility?
Thank you, Mr. Savory.
Much better. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, and column C is the governor's supplemental budget, the revised supplemental budget for FY 22 and 23. Column D is the supplemental budget, the governor's supplemental budget in the tail, so FY 24 and 25. And then columns E and F are the DE amendment. Column E is the FY 22-23 changes, and then column F is the tails changes, so FY 24 and 25. We'll start with the changes for the Department of Agriculture on line 7. That's a change to the Agri-Farm Business Management Appropriation, an increase of $300,000 in FY 23. Line number 8 is an increase to, or is a new appropriation for the farmers market and direct marketing support. That's $1,250,000 in FY 23. And then line 11 is increased resources for USDA equivalent meat testing. That's $100,000 in FY 23, and then $50,000 each fiscal year in 24 and 25. Line 12 is the hunger relief appropriation, similar to the governor's. It's a $3 million appropriation in FY 23, and then $1,350,000 in FY 24, and then 1.3 million in FY 25. Skipping down a few lines is the meat processing technical program at the $500,000 appropriation in FY 23. Skipping down further is an amendment that the governor recommended and the DE carries on line 18, which is an amendment to the farm safety grants. There's no fiscal change, but the language does allow carry forward between FY 22 and 23. Line 19 is an increase, is a appropriation for the information technology at the department. That's $2 million in FY 23. Line 21 is an increase to the Agri Livestock Processing Facilities Grants, $3 million in FY 23. Line 22 is services for immigrants and BIPOC producers and businesses. That's a $2.6 million appropriation in FY 23. Skipping down a few lines further, on line 25 is an appropriation for the noxious weeds grant. Weeds grants, that's transferred to the noxious weed account in the ag fund. That's $2 million in FY 23. Line 26 is the animal disease preparedness and response. This is a transfer to the ag emergency account, and that's $4.5 million in the first year, so FY 22. On line 28 is an appropriation for the Healthy Soil Program. It's $6.725 million in FY 23. Line 29 is an appropriation for the Ag Innovation Campus Administration. That's $1.5 million in FY 23. Line 30 is an appropriation for the Beginning Farmer Tax Credit Infrastructure. That's $141,000 in FY 23, and then $56,000 in only FY 24 of the tails. Line 31 is increasing the appropriation for the Ag Mental Health Specialist. That's $22,000 in FY 23, and then the identical amounts in FY 24 and 25. Line 32 is an appropriation for cover crop development grants. That's $9 million in FY 23. Line 33 is an appropriation to Forever Green, part of that being for equipment and infrastructure. That's $6.5 million in FY 23. And then the appropriation changes to $1.5 million in FY 24 and 25. Line 34 is an appropriation to establish an aquaculture plan. That's $100,000 in FY 23. Line 36 is a transfer to the pollinator research account of $2 million in FY 23. And then line 37 is the Farm Down Payment Assistance Grants Program. That's $3 million in FY 23, and then $1 million each year thereafter in 24 and then FY25. Line 38 is an appropriation for the Heritage Oilseed Research at the University of Minnesota, which is $2 million in FY23. Line 40 is an appropriation for meat processing training grants for $100,000 in FY23. Line 41 is an appropriation for meat processing grants for specifically education. That's $500,000 in FY23. Line 42 is an appropriation to the department to regulate plastic seed, for fertilizer and seed, plastic-coated fertilizer and seed. That's $371,000 in FY23, and then $358,000 in each year of the tails in 24 and 25. Line 43 is a appropriation of $10,000 in FY23 for a regional food system report. And then flipping to the next page. The next item is on line 44, which is the Agri Bioincentive Payment Program. That's a $3 million increase in FY23, and then the increase changes to $2 million each fiscal year in FY24 and $2 million in FY25. Line 46 is a change to the Turf Seed Council appropriation. The DE strikes the language making the appropriation one time, and therefore the impact in FY24 and 25 is $75,000 in each fiscal year. Line 47 is a general increase to the Agri-Grant Program. That increase is $1,056,000 in FY23, and then $142,000 in each year of the tails. Line 48 is an increase to the Agri-Farm to School program. That's $800,000 in FY23 and $800,000 in FY24 and 25. The next several items on line 49, 50, and 52 are carve-outs that were within the Agri program with the up-to language, but were removed from the Agri program been put into the general Agri appropriation. So these are some of this is new spending, being that the farm to school riders increased the additional target money on line 48. But the other one,
Chair, Madam Chair, could you ask people to mute themselves if they're not speaking?
Members, please remember to mute yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so on line 50 is a new rider for the agri, urban, and youth agriculture. So that's $1 million in FY23 and then $1 million in each year of the tails. On line 52 is the new rider for the agri good food access program, which is $1 million in each year in FY23 and then $1 million in FY24 and 25. Additionally, the DE includes language that dedicates the food handler and vending machine fees. That is a change from the general fund where the fees are deposited currently, but the DE changes that so they are deposited in the ag fund. So because of that, that causes a reduction to the protection services area on line 53 of $3.6 million in FY23 and then $3.6 million in FY24 and 25. You'll see further down on the spreadsheet the corresponding revenue change as well, and I'll point that out. Line 54 is an appropriation of $100,000 in FY23 for treated seed consumer guidance. And then line 55 is an appropriation of $425,000 for food safety analysis. Line 57 is the total general fund impact, or the total general fund expenditure impact for the Department of Ag, totaling in FY22-23, $53 million, and then FY24-25, totaling $7.4 million. We'll move on now to AURI, the several appropriation changes that are within the DE. Those changes start on line 67, the first being a cost of living, a COLA adjustment, of $200,000 in each fiscal year in FY22 and 23, and then a $200,000 adjustment in FY24 and 25. Additionally, on line 68, there's a change to the lab equipment, or the increase in appropriation for lab equipment of $1 million in FY23, and then an additional appropriation for facilities infrastructure of $2 million on line 69 below there. So on line 72 is the AURI general fund total of the expenditure changes, $3.4 million in FY22-23, and then $400,000 in FY24-25. Moving down a little bit more, you'll see on line 74, these are the total general fund expenditure changes. So $56.4 million in FY22-23, and then $7.8 million in FY24-25. Line 76 represents the general fund revenue adjustment. So the food handler and vending machines dedication, that restricts changes $3.6 million of general fund revenue that is counted against the target in FY22, in FY23, FY24, and FY25. So the total general fund impact on line 79 is $60 million in FY22-23. And then $15 million in FY24-25. And just moving down a little bit, there's a couple more items that are just tracked, the expenditures as they're deposited in various accounts and other non-general fund impacts. I won't go into too much detail, but simply point out kind of where these are and how they correspond to the expenditure changes. Line 87 is the $4.5 million for the Ag Emergency Fund that shows it's coming now to the Ag fund, change in deposit. Additionally, language on line 89 is Ag BMP eligibility expansion. This was a governor's change item that is for the RFA but does not impact the general fund. And then line 90 and 92 are the various new spending now coming out of the Ag fund from the deposit from the general fund for the pollinator research account and the noxious weed grants. And then additionally on line 93, this is the new dedication for food handler and vending machines fees. And that's on line 93 now coming out of the Ag Fund. And then just a couple more items on line 96 through 102 are the various transfers from the general fund to the Ag Fund. Those again being the transfer to the Ag Emergency account, the pollinator research account, and the noxious weed grants. And then additionally, the same item is just in reverse on line 105 to line 110 on just the transfer into those account, in this case, the Ag Fund. And then lastly, there are some revenue adjustments on line 113. This is the revenue adjustment for the food handler and vending machine dedication, $3.6 million. Now coming to the Ag Fund instead of the general fund as in current law. And then additionally, the general fund adjustment on line 120, which we talked about further up in the spreadsheet. So Madam Chair and members, that concludes the spreadsheet, and I will turn it over to Mr. Sullivan to handle the DE.
Thank you, Mr. Savory. Members, let's hold questions until Mr. Sullivan is done. He might answer questions you may have with additional presentation. Mr. Sullivan, let's do the review of the DE amendment that goes with the spreadsheet. And please proceed and identify yourself before the committee.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Colby Sullivan with the House Research Department. We'll walk through the language in the DE1 amendment that corresponds to the spreadsheet that Mr. Savory just presented. Just a note on the format, members will see there on lines 1.5 to 1.6. This is a supplemental budget bill. So the bill is making changes to the current law budget for the Department of Agriculture and AURI for fiscal years 22-23. So new language is underlined, deleted language is stricken, and any language that is neither underlined nor stricken is current law, and it would not be amended by the DE1. So on page one, we just have the totals, the adjusted totals for the Department of Agriculture with the supplemental spending that correspond to Mr. Savory's spreadsheet. The first change that I'd like to point out, and I'm going to skip over, members, if it's okay, riders that correspond to the governor's supplemental budget proposal, as those items and the language were already presented to the committee by the department. So skip then, if you would, Ms. Conley, to page four. 4.11, this is an appropriation to the University of Minnesota for Forever Green, and this corresponds to Representative Cleborne's House File 3625. Moving down then, starting on line 4.26, this is a separate appropriation for Forever Green for development of enterprises, supply chains, and markets. And this is from Representative Lippert's House File 2720. But the language is a bit different than the committee has seen previously. This language, I understand, corresponds to the language adopted in the Senate Agriculture Committee to the Senate Companion Bill. So then moving on to page 5, the bottom of the page, 5.30, $2 million transfer to the pollinator research account. This is from Representative Morrison's House File 3077. And below that, the $371,000 for additional regulatory activities at the department. This is from the fiscal note for Representative Hansen's House File 3751. And on page 6, paragraph P, which begins on line 6.3, this is from Representative Hansen's House File 766. This is the appropriation to develop and promote consumer guidance regarding neonicotinoid-treated seed. And then on 6.8 to 6.11, this is a new item that Mr. Savory covered in the spreadsheet. This is $425,000 one time to the Department of Agriculture to analyze, develop, and plan a streamlined food safety regulatory system. Then we can skip ahead to page 8. Starting on line 8.9, new paragraph I. This is from Representative Lippert's House File 3999, requiring a report on local and regional markets in Minnesota. The language is a bit different than members have seen before. And this version specifies that the report is to be an interim report on the existing statewide cooperative partnership for local and regional markets, including recommendations. So just a relatively small change to that item from Representative Lippert's bill. Next, on page 10, there are a couple of changes on page 10. This is the very long existing rider for the Departments of Agriculture's Agricultural Growth Research and Innovation Program. And the first change is on 10.9, and this really tracks to Representative Lippert's House File 4120 regarding agri-farm-to-school grants. You'll see that what's happening here is because we're currently in fiscal year 22, and presumably the department has already awarded a good portion of the $800,000 that's provided for that purpose under current law, the law would be amended here to specify that in the first year, the department may use up to $800,000 of the agri appropriation for farm to school. And then we'll see on a later page, as Mr. Savory noted, fiscal 23 and going forward, the amount of funding for this program would be increased, and it would no longer be discretionary for the department to spend money on farm to school. It would be a requirement or language that's earmarking a certain portion of agri for farm to school. So going down then, another change before we leave this page on 10.18, this is the existing rider language authorizing the department to award agri value added grants. And this language just specifies or clarifies that eligible businesses include those producing plant-based foods, which is the same topic as Representative Wolgamott's House File 2583. And then there's a change on 10.20 and 10.27, similar to the farm-to-school changes above. These have to do with the Agri-Urban Agriculture Grant Program and Good Food Access, which is funded through Agri. Again, specifying that for the first year, these up to amounts are relevant, but going forward, the amounts for these purposes will be designated in law. So then moving on to page 11, this is still part of the Agri rider for fiscal years 22-23. The changes are on 11.16. This is the increase in funding that Mr. Savory mentioned for the bio-incentive program. And see language also on line 11.18 and 11.19. This tracks the language in Representative Stevenson's bill, House File 3913. So basically, the increased funding under this language could be used for new incentive payments based on actual production, current production of advanced biofuels, renewable chemicals, or biomass thermal energy. But it could also go for what's referred to as claims not otherwise paid, which Representative Stevenson's language is included in Article 2, and it authorizes producers to apply for the department to award deficiency funds equal to the difference between the amount the producer was due to receive under law and the pro rata amount actually received from the department due to a shortage of funding. Then if we can go to page 13, I talked about how the DE is changing the treatment of farm to school, urban ag, and good food access. And that starts on the bottom of page 13. Yeah, that's the increase there to the existing appropriation for processing facility grants. Mr. Savory noted the DE puts an additional $3 million in there in the second year. So now you see here's farm to school. And instead of giving the department discretionary authority to award, 13.32, that's Farm Business Management Clause 6, that's the governor's rec that hasn't changed. So moving down to 13.32 Clause 7, this is the increase from $800,000 in the second year to $1.6 million for farm to school. And it's no longer discretionary, it's required pass through. And you see that on 14.3, that the addition of authorizing reimbursement of child care providers. That was also in Representative Lippert's House File 4120. Clauses 8 and 9 on this page, these are the increased amounts for urban agriculture. I believe that increased from 600 in the first year to 1 million required in the second year. And I forget the good food access amount, but that one is also increased and specified as a required allocation from Agri at $1 million in the second year for fiscal 2023. That's everything for that page. We can go to page 16. Find a change to the current appropriation and rider for mental health grants through Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. So the amount of funding is increased in the second year, and also the pastor recipient of this funding to provide the mental health services has changed to the Region 5 Development Commission. This was in Representative Lippert's House File 4359, and it was also part of the governor's supplemental recommendations after the February forecast. Next change is on page 21. This is a new item that Mr. Savory mentioned when he walked through the spreadsheet. And there's a line, a couple words that are stricken right there, 21.28. Under current law, the grants from the Department of Agriculture to the Turf Seed Council are one time in 22 and 23. They're not part of the base, and that would change that language. By striking that language, the base level of $75,000 per year would continue into the future and be part of the department's base budget. Next, page 22, towards the bottom, it's new paragraph U, starting on 22.29. This is the allocation to the Ag Emergency Account in the first year, fiscal 22, the current fiscal year. You see there's also language specifying that up to $1.5 million of this amount is to the University of Minnesota for the Vet Diagnostic Lab. That was the amount proposed in Representative Eklund's House File 2980. And just to note that under current law and this bill, the Department of Agriculture has statutory authority to transfer money in the emergency account to other entities, including other state agencies and the University of Minnesota. So the authority exists. The department could transfer money to the Board of Animal Health and certainly to the university for the BDL. Next on page 23.3 to 23.10, this effectively sort of combines two governor's supplemental proposals, additional funding to Second Harvest Heartland for hunger relief, and then specifying that of that $3 million, $500,000 is for the Good Acres Leaf Program. And that would be at a base allocation of $250,000 each year going forward for leaf. the bottom of that page, page 23, new paragraph Y, starting on 23.31. This is this was part of the governor's post-February forecast supplemental budget proposal. This is the $1.5 million grant to the Ag Innovation Campus. And it was also in Representative Keel's House File 3212. She had a proposal to use federal dollars, and this is a general fund appropriation for this purpose on 23.31. On the next page, page 24, we have the aquaculture plan that Mr. Savory mentioned, 24.1. This is from Representative Cleborne's House File 2391. Going down to a new paragraph BB on 24.16, this is Representative Hansen's proposal, House File 3618, providing money to the University of Minnesota to evaluate, propagate, and maintain the genetic diversity of certain species. Then on the bottom of 24, starting on 24.29, it's $100,000 for grants to meat and poultry processors. This is from Representative Nelson's House File 3640. And on 25.5, paragraph DD, the grants to secondary career and tech ed programs. This is from Representative Anderson's House File 4057. That concludes the changes for the Department of Agriculture. The next section would modify the existing appropriations for the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute. And what are added are a series of the chair's bills, Chair Sundin's bills, House File 2341, providing $2 million to acquire property, construct and equip offices and research labs and related infrastructure. On 27.4, new paragraph D is from the chair's House File 3680 for equipment upgrades, replacement, installation, and lab infrastructure. And finally, paragraph E for AURI, this is the cost of living adjustment, using language that's the same under current law as the COLA or operating adjustment provided to the Department of Ag and the Board of Animal Health. That's the end of the appropriation article. There's one more article that includes statutory language that I'll walk through now. It begins with language that members will recognize recently having passed off the House floor, as well as out of this committee earlier this session. This is Representative Cleborne's House File 3217, and including the amendment that was adopted on the House floor. So this is the latest language for this bill. On page 28, section 3, I'm going to skip over section 2 and the other sections that are from the Department of Agriculture's bill, unless members have questions on it. Section 3 was in the department's bill, but it was also heard by the committee in Representative Bang's House File 41111. And this is reestablishing a cooperative grant program with the Department of Agriculture. Then we can move ahead over several provisions relating to the Agricultural Best Management Practices Loan Program and the Livestock Investment Grant Program, changes proposed by the department. And move all the way to page 33, section 12. Section 12, Farm Down Payment Assistance Grants. This is language that members will recognize from Representative Vang's House File 3263. And then moving to page 35. Begin a series of sections that would modify the pesticide control law. The first two sections, 14 and 15, are from Representative Hansen's House File 3751 regarding plastic-coated pesticides and fertilizers. And then section 16 is from Representative Morrison's House File 3077. This goes along with the additional funding proposed for this account in the bill. And this language, as members will remember, changes the name and the purposes and the expiration date for this existing dedicated account. Then on to section 17 and 18 on this page, we're back to Representative Hansen's House File 3751. And those sections continue onto the top of page 36 and sections 19 and 20. And then section 21, this is changes to the seed law. These are also Representative Hansen's provisions, but they're from a different bill, House File 766, as amended in the committee this year. That's also section 22. On page 37, section 23 is also part of his bill. And then beginning on 37.13 with section 24 and section 25, Mr. Savory referred to these when he walked through the spreadsheet. These are sections that would dedicate penalties and license fees collected from food handlers by the Department of Agriculture, as well as vending machine inspection fees collected by the department, dedicate them by depositing them in the agricultural fund, and then appropriating the proceeds or the revenue received back to the department for purposes of its regulatory duties in these areas. This wasn't this session, but I believe it was last year, the committee heard a bill proposing this from Representative Lubick. That was House File 1547. And then section 26 at the bottom, this is, I believe this is a technical conforming change to the dedication of the fee revenue, just specifying that these two fees will not, the revenue will not be deposited in the general fund any longer. Page 38, section 27, this is Representative Nelson's House File 3878, adding members to the Food Safety and Defense Task Force. It's a bit different from the bill that he introduced and that was heard by the committee, and that his bill proposed to add two new members who are knowledgeable in cybersecurity. One designated by the University of Minnesota and one appointed by the governor. In this language, there's just the single gubernatorial appointee who's knowledgeable in cybersecurity. Bottom of page 38, section 28. This is from Representative Hansen's House File 3273. And it effectively imposes a moratorium on new deer farms in the state of Minnesota, effective the day following final enactment. White-tailed deer farms, I should specify, as it provides on 39.7. And on page 39, starting with section 29, these are sections that members will recognize from Representative Stevenson's House File 3913 that change the eligibility window for eligible facilities to receive bio-incentive payments. As amended in this bill and Representative Stevenson's bill, those facilities would need to begin production by the end of this year. And it also, as noted earlier, authorizes producers to reapply for deficiency payments if they received a pro rata amount previously for advanced biofuels, renewable chemical, or biomass thermal energy production. So those sections are very similar, corresponding changes to each of those three programs. That continues through page 44, line 10. And then the section 35 report incentive programs. This is language also has to do with the bio incentive program administered by the department, but this is language that was in last year's omnibus agriculture finance bill for the House as passed out of this committee and voted off the floor. And it essentially requires the Department of Agriculture to collect additional information and to report that additional information to the legislature. And this is information supplied by those who receive bio-incentive payments from the department. Page 45, these are all part of the governor's proposal heard previously. As is the top of page 46, and then section 39 on page 46. It's the first of two sections from Representative Anderson's House File 2969 relating to requirements for licensed grain buyers. Section 39 is exactly as presented by Representative Anderson. And section 40 is very similar, but it has an additional component. This is the a requirement to provide audited or reviewed financial statements for certain grain buyers. You see that on 48.8, there's a new line on corresponding requirement on 48.14 that requires grain buyers who are subject to the audited or reviewed financial statement requirements to post the review or audit on their website and make that available to the general public.
And then finally, section 41, final section at the bottom of page 48 is just a technical direction to the reviser to renumber the definitions in the pesticide control law to account for the new plastic-related definitions proposed in this bill. And that, Madam Chair, is the end of the DE1 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Members, I will open up the floor for questions to Mr. Savory or Mr. Sullivan. I don't see any raised hands. Oh, Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, I think I'm back with you. I had some computer issues, and between me and the expert, we got them fixed. Mainly he got them fixed. But anyway, I'm glad to be back with you. Mr. Sullivan, if he's still around, had a question for him pertaining to the bill I had included on page 48, lines 48.8 and 48.14. Mr. Sullivan, I realize that a cooperative, when they do their auditing, that becomes public knowledge. But for example, if a private elevator has this auditing done, in my mind, that's private information, and now we're saying that they have to release that to the public. Is that kind of unusual, or is that standard practice, Mr. Sullivan, in your opinion?
Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, is that standard practice? I guess I'm trying to think of an example. As you noted, publicly traded companies have to post those documents, I think, provide them to the SEC, but I don't know about privately held companies. I'd have to do some research on that to see what the status quo is in that area.
Okay. Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Yeah, that language is bothersome to me. It was not part of my original bill. It was added someplace by the committee to the language of the bill. But I think it's problematic, and I may have an amendment to drop that language. And I'll be talking with you again, Mr. Sullivan, so thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing no further questions. Let's hear from the department and AURI, and then we can take a public testimony. We have Commissioner Tom Peterson. Please identify yourself before the committee. And I also want to recognize that the department has also submitted a letter as well.
Madam Chair and members, Tom Peterson, Commissioner of Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And as Chair Vang said, we did submit a letter. So I will just kind of do the highlights for you real quick. You know, we just want to really thank Chair Sundin for putting out a strong agricultural bill that reflects many of the priorities that the governor had put in our budget. Again, too, just reminding, when we put this budget together, looking at what some other states have done and looking at our surplus and things that we could do that were strong investments for Minnesota. And that also a lot of these ideas and things that you see in the bill also coming from members, but also the administration. A lot of these ideas came from Minnesotans through the portal that the governor had set up and had strong support. And so we just appreciate to see things such as meat processing, noxious weeds, Forever Green, soil health initiatives. All these things we think are very important to give Minnesota a strong boost up as we come hopefully out of COVID, and very looking forward to working with all of you. I also just want to mention too, I guess the one piece that's not in here that we, you know, we'll need to continue to work on is the grain indemnity account. Again, I think that this is something that we don't know when the next pipeline foods will happen, I think, but the question is going to be to legislators and the department is, what are we doing about it? You know, we've had four or five of these happen, and God forbid another one happens again. I think that's going to be in here. We put this idea on the table, and granted, we'll continue to work on it. It's not something that, you know, and I appreciate that. I think it's something that is important that we can continue to go for. Other things I just wanted to mention in this is I really want to just spend a minute on, I really appreciate Chair Sundin putting dollars in for our emergency account. As we get going through avian influenza, I think today we still have more developments. We're starting to see counties that we're adding today, I think included Becker and well, it's been a long day already. I think we've added three more counties today to the Kandy, Ojai, and Stearns that we've seen as we go through the saving influenza, but really looking at our emergency count and what are the dollars we're going to need. And so it's important that we look at maybe the drought bill to have this, but also this bill. I think that we as the Department of Board of Mental Health are looking at the dollars that we need, what's available in our emergency account, but I am deeply concerned about that. And then if the legislature goes on break for a few days and we don't address it through the drought bill, we may have to come to the legislature quickly for some emergency dollars. What happens is a lot of times there's things the department has to do to kind of upfront some of the growers and the operations respond to. This is similar to what happened in 2015. And then the USDA will reimburse us later, but we have to have that cash. And I am concerned about that as we get going. So we'll continue to keep the chair and the committee updated on that. Madam Chair, again, I reference, I'll going to cede the rest of my time that our comments are all in the letter. I look forward to working with you, Mr. Chair. Since I've been commissioner, we've been able to work with this committee to pass three strong budgets for our farmers and Minnesotans, and I look forward to continuing that trend. Thank you.
Okay, next we have is Dan Skogan from AURI. Mr. Skogan, please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Dan Skogan. I'm Director of Government and Industry Relations for the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, AURI. I wanted to publicly thank you, Mr. Chair Sundin and Vice Chair Vang and all the committee members, really, for their good work on putting this bill together. AURI appreciates that you've had us in before your committee. You've taken the time to listen to our priorities. And even through the pandemic, AURI continued to work with over 150 entrepreneurs and small businesses to bring their innovative ideas to reality, supporting economic development and the producers. This bill will help us remain competitive on salaries and benefits. We'll update our protein and fermentation equipment, and in Waseca will improve both safety and efficiency as we'll be able to bring our co-products lab back under one roof. The Minnesota State Legislature invested in entrepreneurs when they created AURI over 30 years ago, and with the provisions in this bill, AURI is poised to be the helping hand that entrepreneurs and producers will need for decades to come. Thank you for your good work.
Okay. So not seeing any further questions, further testifiers, any questions for the department or to AURI members? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And my question is for Commissioner Peterson, and it's related to emergency response and with the both with turkeys and chickens, with killing the mass number of birds, firefighting foam has been used in the past. And just wondering, is that the recommended practice for using firefighting foam? Because we've actually been dealing with trying to remove PFAS from firefighting foam, and any concerns about cross-contaminating the barns with PFAS if we use firefighting foam.
Commissioner Peterson.
Madam Chair and Representative Hansen, that is, I'd have to check. It might be more appropriate for Dr. Thompson. I don't think she's on the call today, but something we could work on and see if we get you an answer to that. But that is one of the methods used, or probably the most used method.
Chair Hansen, follow up?
No, thank you.
Okay. Members, any further questions for the department or to AURI? Seeing no further questions, we have a number of people signed up to testify. First up is Stu Laurie. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and who you're with and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Vang and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Stu Laurie. I'm the Government Relations Director for Minnesota Farmers Union. And I want to thank you and Chair Sundin for a strong agriculture budget. I recognize that this committee doesn't set its own target, but we do see and appreciate the investment here. And we feel like this is an opportunity to reinvest in an agricultural economy and in our rural communities, implementing lessons learned during COVID-19 and making our entire agricultural economy more resilient, more fair, and more distributed. We see a lot of that here. So real briefly, things we like, which we appreciate the opportunity to continue the conversation with you on, are the investments in the strong investments in meat processing, the investments that help producers promote soil health and pursue on-farm climate action. Coming out of the 30-year drought, 2019, the wettest fall on record, these are really important and timely investments. We appreciate the committee's proposed investment in emerging and beginning farmers, both through the direct support for Black and Indigenous farmers and farmers of color, but also the Farm Business Management Scholarships, Chair Vang, your down payment assistance proposal, and the funding to better administer the Beginning Farmer Tax Credit. And we're submitting longer comments for the record that I think will be posted on Wednesday that cover other things we're excited about in this budget, including, of course, animal disease preparedness and response, supply chain development for perennial crops, and the proposed investment in noxious weeds. Briefly, a couple things we'd like to see prioritized going forward. First and foremost, and by far and above the most important in what Commissioner Peterson addressed, but we would love to see a grain indemnity fund addressed going forward. We've been part of a number of meetings with the Department of Agriculture, and their staff has said that our grain producers in our state have some of the lowest protections in the nation. And so God forbid we have another collapse like pipeline. We were doing legislative visits with a member who lost out big in that bankruptcy, and she's doing that to make sure that that doesn't happen to another family, you know, that kind of devastating news. We think the Grain Indemnity Fund is a good solution. It's been proven in 14 other states. And so we look forward to continuing that conversation. We'd love for you to consider funding cooperative development grants. Thank you for reauthorizing those in your budget. We'd love general fund support. And always more we can do on meat processing. We've seen other states double down and invest big, and we appreciate the strong investment in this budget. I think I just highlight the creative workforce retention programs that the department proposed, and also investing in the technical training programs at Central Lakes and Ridgewater. We're working on some federal investments there, but some of that isn't sure, and we're really eager to make sure that they get off to a good start in fall of 22. So thank you again for a strong agricultural budget, the opportunity to provide comments again, and for all your work going forward. I'll be happy to stick around for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Laurie. Next we have is Rauna Stiff. Please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Hello, thank you, Chair Sundin, Chair Vang, and committee members. My name is Rihanna Sith, and I am a current intern with the Nature Conservancy. The Nature Conservancy's mission is to conserve the lands and waters on which all life depends so nature and people can thrive. And thank you for the opportunity to comment on the Delete All Amendment to House File 4366. As a student who moved to Minnesota to attend Minnesota State University Mankato, I have met many residents and students themselves who have shown me how intentional the state is about protecting what we have for the next generation. While interning with the Nature Conservancy, I have learned about some of the science behind the conservation efforts that are going on right now in Minnesota. And science shows that we have a high potential to increase carbon storage through natural lands, including croplands in Minnesota. So we are pleased at the Nature Conservancy to see the inclusion of $6.75 million for soil health financial assistance and adoption under the Department of Agriculture in this bill. Soil health practices will help store carbon and mitigate the effects of climate change while providing benefits for water quality and quantity. And it is critical for these activities to expand to a meaningful scale, which will require farm operations of all types and sizes to have support to implement and expand the use of many diverse soil health practices. It is important to have an engagement process to ensure there is a plan to expand soil health that can help tackle climate change. I'd like to note that these sorts of investments today will be important to young farmers, college students, and other young adults like myself as we navigate sustainability efforts for future generations of Minnesotans. So thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Ms. Diff. Next, we have is Marianne Zaduti. Please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Chair Sandine, and members of the committee. My name is Mariam Zardoudi, and I'm testifying today on behalf of the Bioeconomy Coalition of Minnesota. The Bioeconomy Coalition's goal is to position Minnesota as a global leader in the bioeconomy by supporting innovation in bio-based industries, adding value to Minnesota's resources, and creating a sustainable bioeconomy. Coalition members include representatives from agriculture, forestry, local government, non-governmental organizations, and startups. The Bioeconomy Coalition appreciates the inclusion of funding for Minnesota's bioincentive program in this bill. The bioincentive program is critical to attracting investments in advanced biofuels, renewable chemicals, and biomass thermal energy in the state. The program is currently underfunded today. The bioincentive program is a low-risk investment with high rewards for Minnesota. Because companies that participate in the program only receive payments after they have made investments in the state, there is no risk of the state paying for projects that fail to materialize. According to research by the University of Minnesota, the program has resulted in significant economic benefits. For every dollar spent on the program to date, it has resulted in over $400 for Minnesota's economy and about $9 in new tax collections. The program also ensures significant climate benefits for the state, as it is limited to advanced biofuels that achieve a 50% or greater reduction in greenhouse gas emissions compared to gasoline. The bioincentive program has led to significant investments across Minnesota, and this funding is critical to the state fulfilling its commitment to existing projects and to driving further investment in the future. The funding included in this bill is an important step forward toward fully funding the program, and we look forward to continuing to work with the committee. Thank you for your time and for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, Ms. Agdudi. Next we have is David Van Eckelt. Please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is David Van Eckelt. I'm the Farm Program Director at the Good Acre Nonprofit Food Hub based in Falcon Heights, Minnesota. I'm here to express my support for the DE amendment of HF 4366 and would like to express our thanks to the committee for the continued support of the Local Emergency Assistance Farmer Fund, also known as LEAF, which is a program of our organization. The program is having a significant impact. It's building and supporting markets for emerging farmers, reducing food waste at the farm level, providing high-quality fresh produce to families in need, and engaging in hands-on learning opportunities for farmers. This additional funding will have an immediate impact, helping us to expand the number of farmers in the program, increase the volume of produce available to our hunger relief partners, ensure that less produce is being wasted on the farm, and connect farmers to new market opportunities. This program is a perfect example of how the private sector can be nimble and innovate with their programming in a crisis, and how the state can invest in successful programs and help expand their impact. I'd also like to thank Chair Vang for stopping by our facility for a tour last week, and would like to extend an invitation to any members of the committee to visit us during the summer to see the program in action and meet the farmers impacted by it. We're less than a 15-minute drive from the Capitol. Thanks again for your continued support, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Echo. Next we have is Dan Glessing. Please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dan Glessing. I serve as president of Minnesota Farm Bureau, a dairy farmer in Wright County. On behalf of nearly 30,000 Farm Bureau families, I want to thank you, Mr. Chair, and members for all the work you've done in the last few weeks on this bill. First of all, thank you for the investment into meat processing in Minnesota, especially through educational opportunities. The last few years have shown us that providing additional dollars to educational agricultural supply chain, especially to our inspectors, butchers, and processors, is a critical investment. We also support additional funding for grants to local units of government and tribal nations for noxious weed detection, control, and management. These are important partners in controlling noxious weeds that can wreak havoc on farmers and ranchers. We appreciate the investment this bill makes into farm business management through tuition assistance. This program provides educational opportunities for farmers and ranchers to be successful in a competitive agricultural environment and management education for decision making that achieves individual business goals, making this program accessible to those that need it is an investment into a stronger future for Minnesota agriculture. MFBF supports the policy change to the Rural Mental Health Program. This has been an incredibly appreciated program for all of rural Minnesota, and we appreciate the initiatives by this legislature to make sure that this program works as intended, especially the changes to ensure that people seek out these tools are protected. As Minnesota unfortunately deals with avian influenza, it is a good reminder of the importance of preparing for and responding to animal diseases. The money allocated to the agricultural emergency account and for the University of Minnesota Veterinary Diagnostic Lab is a much needed and appreciated investment. Thank you. The beginning farmer tax credit has been a very useful tool to support the next generation of farmers and ranchers. However, to ensure that the program functions as intended, the money for administering the tax credit is appreciated. Finally, as we look toward promoting voluntary soil health practices and the resources farmers need to implement them, we appreciate the language included in this bill, not restrictive to specific practices, and include things like technology and equipment to help get these practices on the ground and allow farmers to use soil health practices that make sense on their individual farms. Again, thank you for all that you do for the future of Minnesota agriculture.
Thank you, Mr. Glessing. And our last testifier for today is Laura Lemke. Please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Vang and committee members. My name is Laura Lemke, and I'm the Executive Director for the Minnesota Grain and Feed Association. We are a 115-year-old organization that represents the interests of grain elevators and feed mills and the feed mill industry in Minnesota. On behalf of our members, I would like to thank you for omitting the language in the DE amendment for House File 4366 pertaining to the creation of a grain indemnity fund in Minnesota. The MGFA is on record as opposing the MDA's grain indemnity program for a variety of reasons, including the late distribution of the proposal relative to the legislative committee deadlines, the lack of input from stakeholders, the cost to farmers and the grain elevator industry, and the passive solution to address future insolvencies versus preventative measures that would protect farmers. This is a complicated issue that we feel deserves further analysis and discussion by all affected stakeholders. MGFA looks forward to having those conversations with MDA and others to create recommendations to revise MDA's grain licensing program, and we hope through those meetings to bring back a better, more thoughtful version of this proposal next year. As for the addition from the committee to the bill regarding grain buyers needing to post their review or audit statement on their website, I'd like to echo Representative Anderson's concerns about privately held businesses posting their financials for the public. I'd also like to point out that not every grain buyer has a website, and I'm curious if this language would require that of grain buyers. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lemke. Members, any questions for the testifiers? All right, seeing no further questions, just want to thank you all again for your testimony and participating with us through this process. I see Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Probably this would be better addressed to the author of the bill. Again, we're wondering, this bill spends actually more dollars than the governor's request for a supplemental budget. It even leaves about $15 million in the tails. And yet we have no official targets yet. So just wondering, I'm sure he has a better inside track to that than I do. But just wondering again, this is a hard and fast number, or can funding be added to this before it goes to Ways and Means? Just what's the status of financially of this bill, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Vang. We're within the structure of the targets right now. In fact, we're right on target with this this bill. So thank you for the question, and appreciate your cooperation on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Anderson?
I had a couple of final comments on the bill itself. I can wait to do that if you're going to have other comments by members. But before you close out the meeting, I have a couple other things to say, Madam Chair.
I don't see any further questions from members. So Representative Anson, you can continue on. Or Mr. Chair, is there anything else you'd like to add in terms of testifiers?
Sure. Before we go to Representative Anderson, thank you, Chair Vang. I would like to see if Andrea Vobel with the department is available. She could talk about the food safety analysis. It's kind of a new program, and she might be able to flesh out some ideas on that if she's available and willing.
Andrea Vobel, please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair. My name is Andrea Vobel. I serve as Deputy Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. I actually did ask Catherine Simon, who heads up our Food and Feed Safety Division, to join us if in case we had a question on this. So I will defer to her if she's available.
Catherine Simon, please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Catherine Simon. I serve as the Director of the Food and Feed Safety Division at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. So that streamlining proposal in there, it's the $425,000. That's really to a companion that goes with the dedication of the food licensing fees. So it's sort of a restructure, and it's in response to a lot of the input that we've gotten from stakeholders about some issues with the antiquated structure we have within our food licensing program. So all of those fees are tied to the requirement to be categorized into a single business type, and a lot of those categorizations are causing a lot of administrative burden. So with this money, which is one-time money, we're hoping to get a specific analysis plan in place that involves a lot of full breadth of stakeholder input from our sister agencies of the Department of Health, as well as the delegated agencies for retail, in addition to our FIT team, which serves under the Food Safety Defense Task Force, that's referenced in another bill, through the Farmers Market Associations, grocery associations, and a variety of other license holders to get a new and better designed structure so that we can then assess what long-term needs for the program are going to be.
Thank you, Ms. Simon. Members, any questions regarding to the food safety analysis appropriation? Okay. Seeing no further questions, any questions to in general before we wrap up? Representative Anderson?
Thanks again, Madam Chair. Yeah, overall, the bill does spend some funds on agriculture, which is good. To me, the most problematic part of the bill is the language that would really do away with the plastic-coated fertilizer, the coated, especially nitrogen, the ESN fertilizer that's a timed-release form of nitrogen has been a real boom to help farmers plan and apply nitrogen and not have it leach away and go down the stream. But beginning, I think, in 2024, those things would be that product would be banned here in Minnesota. It was noted that there are replacements coming, being used in Europe, but they're many years away, at least 10 years away, we were told. And that's very problematic, I think, in actually taking a step backward in terms of stewardship environmentally here in Minnesota. I also noted the language included page 10, line 18, plant-based food now being eligible for agri funding. I think there was a bevy of testimony against that type of thing in committee when the bill was heard, but the language showed up in the omnibus bill anyway. So I have some concerns about including a plant-based food in this really livestock-heavy state of Minnesota. And, ma'am, Chair, the last thing I'll mention is language in the bill that became more strict, more harsh than when the bill was heard in committee. and that has to do with a moratorium on deer farms. In the original bill that Representative Hansen presented, I believe he had a provision that allowed a father to pass on the business to his son or a family transaction. Now, in the omnibus bill, that is not even allowed for deer farmers to pass their operation on to their son or daughter. Problematic, and they're pretty heavy-handed on the deer farmers in Minnesota. So, Madam Chair, those are my comments, and we will hear this bill up again on Wednesday, have some amendments, and then we'll take it from there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Before we wrap up, Mr. Chair, do you have any closing comments?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Vang. I'd like to thank everybody that testified today, and comments from Representative Anderson are always appreciated. But I think this package, coupled with the drone package that's moving separately, represents a strong investment in agriculture and moves us in the right direction. If there's any additional questions you have, you can approach me or the Chair Vang offline, and I'm looking forward to a good discussion on Wednesday. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And with that, House File 4366 is laid over. Just a couple reminders.
Madam Chair, it's as amended. Oh, no, we didn't take action, right?
Yes, thank you. Staff, can you confirm that I made the correct motion?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Conley. So just a few reminders. We will continue to accept written comment until noon tomorrow. It will be posted and shared with members, and the deadline for amendments is tomorrow at 4 p.m. Is there any questions regarding the next couple steps? All right. And with that, thank you, everyone, today for all your work, and thank you to staff. This meeting is adjourned.